Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
It's time to talk some football with a professor, John Clayton, who's with us every day here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle, joining us live from Indianapolis. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
So you had a chance.
Hello, Roz.
Hi, John.
Long time since you guys have had a chance to speak, right?
Yeah. It's been hours.
John, you had a chance to catch up with the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks today. What was your biggest takeaway from that conversation?
He was pretty pumped. I mean, he feels good about the team. He realizes, more things need to be done. They've got to improve the pass rush. They got to improve the defense. They can't just have 28 sacks. They can't rank 26th on defense. But, he still has a good feel for the overall team, particularly, knowing how close it came to maybe having a number one seed. And so he thinks it's a good team. He thinks it's a hard team for opponents to be able to face, but he also realized more work has to be done.
Any chance he has another quote-unquote DK Metcalf moment this combine?
He tends to think not. I mean, DK was one of the few that he took his shirt off for, and I don't know, he's not negatively reviewing anybody, because again, it's like Metcalf didn't go to the bottom of the second round, but I don't know if there's any first-rounders he would take his shirt off for, so he thinks he's going to keep his shirt on in this one.
Well, we know how much he liked the base defense last year, John, but Michael Kendrick's coming off that ACL and being a free agent. What's the likelihood that he returns?
I think it's going to be tough because you're talking about an ACL that happened so late. I mean, here it is. They're not sure that Penny is going to be able to make it back and might have to. He's definitely going to start training camp on PUP. And, may have to spend six games on PUP at the beginning of the season. And so it'd be the same thing for Kendricks. And so, what he has to evaluate right now, first, do you bring Kendricks back as much as he likes him? And then secondly, if you have him, he's probably not going to be available till midseason. So, they have Cody Barton out there to be able to play the strong side, but you kind of get the feeling, based on how they are at the slot position, whether Ugo Amadi's ready to take over or whether they go a different direction, they're probably going to go more nickel than they do base defense, because the reason they went base defense is because the three linebackers were that good, including Kendricks.
Hey, John, it just occurred to me, with K.J. Wright and Justin Britt, do you think they're going to renegotiate with those guys? I mean, do you think they're going to try and just pay them what the contract says for next year, or do you think there's going to be some negotiating there?
I think that's something that's a summer decision as opposed to a decision now. I mean, they've got $60 million, $53 million of cap room, so they don't have to clear out any cap now whatsoever. And again, if you go to a player like that, any one of those two, then they're likely not wanting to be there. Because if you're asking them to take a pay cut, then they'll want to leave. And, Justin Britt can be firm on that. I mean, K.J. Wright can be firm on that. And right now, this is a team that needs players, not players that are going to be leaving the team. So I think what you do, because knowing Justin's coming off the major injury, is that you decide that how he is in training camp and how he's going to be for the start of the regular season. So I don't think there's any need to do that now, because all you can do is anger the player and then cause more problems than good.
Yeah, it would seem the urgency to restructure those deals isn't there based on the number you just threw out there. But do you think if it feels like potentially it hinges on Clowney's deal, if they do sign Clowney and he is making an exorbitant amount of money, that would then probably prompt them to restructure those deals, wouldn't it?
I mean, you decide that later, not now. And again, it's like if you do it now, you create more openings and more holes. It's like, okay, they may have to replace three or four starters on the defensive line, and then now you're, Kendricks is not probably going to be back. Now you're basically saying if you go to K.J. Wright and he doesn't want to take the pay cut, then all of a sudden now you're replacing almost your entire front seven. All you're going to have left is Bobby Wagner, and then, whether it's Rasheem Green or L.J. Collier or whatever. So, no, that would be a horrible thing to do. I mean, they need to add players, not subtract players. And if you go to players that ask them to take pay cuts, I mean, like, for example, in Kansas City, as great as the season was, they have Sammy Watkins, who made one of the big Super Bowl catches you could ever make, but they realize they got to pay Patrick Mahomes, they got to pay Chris Jones, and so they're going to ask him to take a pay cut. And when that happens, the player usually gets cut. And so if you go to K.J. Wright, now you're possibly replacing two of your three starting linebackers, and you still don't know if you're going to get Clowney back. And then if you you do that to Justin Britt and his $9 million salary, then all of a sudden you may be replacing Mike Iupati, you may be replacing George Fant, certainly Jermaine Ifedi. So now you've torn your offensive line apart. That's a decision for the summer, not now.
Is this combine for the Seahawks any different than the ones in the past because of the fact they've already got a lot of draft picks this year?
I think it's pretty typical. I mean, okay. I think that, there's certainly some nuances to this draft that are a little bit different. I mean, you know, other than, say, Chase Young, who is the number two pick in the draft, you know, you can go into the teens before the next edge rusher goes. So I don't know if that's good or bad for the Seahawks. I know, talking to John Snyder, he likes the depth of the edge rushers, but of course, you know, what this team is needing is, you know, some edge rusher who can develop, like Frank Clark, into a Pro Bowl type of guy. And so that's what they like. Now, can you find that? And if to do that, they might have to trade up to be able to get that. So that's a little bit different. I mean, you know, everybody's all worried about the third receiver thing, but this is like the deepest wide receiver draft I've ever seen. You know, 20 to 25 wide receivers with third round grades or better. So it's like, okay, if you need a third, because they don't need a number one, they got Tyler Lockett. They have a number two, certainly in DK Metcalf. And they could have a number three in John Ursula, but they can't get him on the field because, you know, they got Lockett in the slot and that. So, I mean, you can get that third guy in the draft somewhere in the top three rounds, most likely in rounds two or more likely in round three.
Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, John, he's reporting that the Colts are interested in Phillip Rivers. I love the idea of Phillip Rivers there in Indianapolis, John, with a good offensive line in front of him. Phillip Rivers might still have some game left.
Yeah, I agree, because I know I've been saying it now since the time that he moved his family out of San Diego and to Florida, that the most likely spot for him to go is Indianapolis. But I'll throw even something more interesting into the mix too, because, you know, if you're doing that and knowing you're only going to have him for 1 or 2 years, you're chasing away Jacoby Brissett, you need a young quarterback to groom behind him. And the young quarterback that I think, if they can get him in the second round, that would really fit would be Jacob Eason, because, you know, both guys have strong arms. You know, Jason has a delivery that I think that Phillip can help work with. You know, certainly Phillip can help him with his game and all that stuff. And so I don't want to necessarily take Eason out of the first round, but that could be a real good spot for him, because, you know, that, I don't think that Jason should play the first year. But, you know, I think that Eason, that would be a nice fit, because then you have the best of all worlds. You have the quarterback who can get you to the playoffs, and then you have your future quarterback learning behind him.
Hey, John, how surprised would you be to see this team pull off a trade to address their issues with the defensive line? We talked about, you know, the potential free agents out there. Most of the big names seem like they're all going to be franchised. So you're talking about Bennett. You're talking about Jason Pierre-Paul. You're talking about some of these older players, Robert Quinn. Could you see them pulling off some sort of trade the way they have in the past, where they shocked us with, I mean, Clowney was a shock, Percy Harvin, Jimmy Graham? You see anything like that happening?
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to do that, it would be a trade for not somebody old, but somebody in the mid-20s, you know, 26, 25, 27. So let's say, for example, we figure that Jacksonville is going to franchise Yannick Nakia. I always screw up his name, but
Yannick.
Ngakoue. Yeah, Ngakoue. And then Matt Judon over in Baltimore is going to get franchised. So that could be an option. If you can maybe pull that off for a second round pick, maybe it's a second rounder and a fourth, then I think you're talking that could be something that could be very appealing and something they could do. Because, you know, you don't know where they stand as far as Dante Fowler. I mean, you're right about some of the other guys. They're a little bit older. They are going to come in cheaper, but they've got to find that young guy if they lose Clowney, because, you know, at least when they picked up Clowney, they got a 26-year-old defensive end who'd been to three Pro Bowls. Well, Yannick would be one, because, again, there's going to be cap problems in Jacksonville, and if there's no CBA deal that's passed, then they're going to really have more cap problems because of the Nick Foles contract and others. So, no, I think that that could be a possibility, because, again, where they have, again, it's a low second round pick because it's a Kansas City pick. It's at the bottom of the second round. It's the 64th pick in the draft to make it work for a second rounder. Because remember, you saw last year that San Francisco traded for Dee Ford, and that was a high second round pick. So probably you may have to pay a 2 and a 4 for Yannick. But if you can get him structured to a $17, $18 million deal, that might not be bad.
If you've got questions for the professor, you can text them into 710-710 is the text line. If we have time, we'll get to some of your questions during the segment.
John, I heard you suggest that Jacob Eason might not go in the first round, although I think you probably think he's going to go in the first round. I know I do. This seems like a pretty strong quarterback crew. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's a good one. I mean, I don't think it's as good as 2012 when you had Andrew Luck and you had Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins and RG3 didn't really work out. But that was a really good group. And so this one's a good group. You know, you could have some guys that may not make it. I mean, the last really good group certainly was the Patrick Mahomes year because you had Deshaun Watson and Baker Mayfield and, you know, guys like that. That was, you know, the last good one. But no, I think this, it may not be as good as, say, because, I mean, you look at these guys and say, okay, who's going to be the real all-pro type of guy? And, I mean, you look at Joe Burrow, I think he'll be the number one pick. He's had small hands, and he's going to the Bengals. Then you look at the, you know, you don't know about Tua because he has a hip injury. He'll recover from that, but is he going to be Marcus Mariota with a history of injuries? You don't know exactly on Justin Herbert, who I think is going to be the sixth pick. But, you know, it's a good group, but I think, you know, certainly it's not as good as that Patrick Mahomes year.
John, you're not going with that stupid small hands thing, are you?
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes has small hands, John.
Hey, Patrick Mahomes had a nine and a quarter inch hand. That's a quarter of an inch bigger than Justin. I mean, and certainly you saw that the quarterback got at the top of the draft, Joe Burrow. But you have to buy some of it because if you have small hands, you'll have a tendency to fumble.
Brett Favre had big hands over a 10, and he has the most fumbles in the NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
Big hands, John. Big hands.
Greg had small hands, and at one point he set the fumble record.
Until Brett Favre with his big hands broke it.
Yeah. Of course, remember, I mean, what he only played, 17, 18 years and didn't miss a game.
All right.
I guess
you have any more hands questions?
No, that's it.
More hands questions. Let's get more of those.
Hey, John, bad news. Trevon Boykin, sentenced to 3 years in prison for the 2018 beating of his girlfriend. Former Seahawks quarterback, and he seemed to be in trouble from the get-go.
Yeah, he was. And, the incident sounded bad when we heard about it. You know, then everything stayed quiet for so long. And these cases sometimes can take a long period of time. And, you know, a lot of people kind of thought that, you know, he would get incarcerated and would get into problems. But, yeah, 3 years, that's a tough one because obviously it's ended his pro football career. He never got a chance to really get back. And but, again, it's like if you make an act like that, I mean, you deserve punishment, and he got his punishment.
John, the 509 wants to know, Professor, how will they – divide up the games if it's a 17-game schedule? Obviously, now with 16, you've got 8 on the road, 8 at home. How do they work out the road-home split?
Well, what they'll do is they'll try to get some international games, and they'll probably have a certain number of international games they can have unless they know they can get more international games. And then kind of like they do right now, they'll take a extra game, and you'll have a home game 1 year and a road game another. And so what they'll do is they'll take another division, probably in the other conference, and then you'll play, one, two, three, four. So, because, right now, the way it's set up, if you have a first-place schedule, you play a first-place team, but now they're going to the other conference. But, again, they'll have a schedule back and forth where, that home team is going to have the home game 1 year and the road game the next. That one's easy to work out because you can just, schedule it, and then it's going to be tied to where you finish in the standings. And so, they can work that out.
Any scuttlebutt on what's going to happen on that vote? I know it's just the first day and it's not coming out for two more weeks, but what do you think?
Yeah. I get the feeling it's going to pass, even though there's going to be a lot of resistance. I mean, you saw Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. You saw, J.J. Watt a week ago went against it. Marquise Pouncey of the Pittsburgh Steelers had the greatest shouting match in the world because every word that he had against this deal was a swear word, so he went crazy on it. But everything, I'm kind of getting the feeling, because I know I just spent some time, they had an agent meeting today. The agent meeting was just everybody shouting at the union for this deal and all that stuff. But again, it still comes down to the players who aren't making the big money, the players who still are in their rookie contracts, that are first-year guys, second-year guys, third-year guys, and then minimum salary guys, and that's still the bulk of the union. And again, what they're looking at is there's improvements for them. And if those guys think the improvements are enough, then I think it gets voted in. Right now, if I was a betting person, which I'm not, you know, I would lean toward betting that it's going to pass.
I am a betting person, John, and I'm with you on that.
I know that.
I'm with you on that.
I mean, this may be one for you because, you know, when you have the executive committee voting, 7-4 against, and then you have pretty much a reluctant group of player reps who did vote 17-14, but the initial vote was against, and so they kind of reluctantly, you know, gave it the chance to get to that. You know, you would have to almost put the vote in the underdog role. So if you're having the underdogs being the voting for, how would you bet it?
It looks like a pick 'em right now to me, John.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's pretty much a pick 'em. What about this franchise tag window? It opens tomorrow. It goes through March 12th. Is there a flurry of activity in that area the first day?
No, I think it's going to be a little reluctant. I mean, you know, what you can do, like a team like Tennessee, you know, they could make the decision. It's like, okay, we're going to put the franchise tag on Derrick Henry and the transition on Ryan Tannehill. Because, again, you can always remove those franchise tags, but then you also realize you're probably going to upset the player, and it's like you might want to wait it out. And, of course, in the end, what you probably have to do, if they go to the no deal, then one of those guys you have to pull off the tag because you can only at that time have one. So it may be the best thing to wait, but if you're worried about losing your player, put the franchise tag. Like, for example, they very well in Baltimore may do that with Matthew Judon, or they may do that with Yannick. And so some of those guys, you know, you may just take the tack. We're going to do it now because we're going to hold this up. But, you know, you still like to negotiate it, but obviously there's going to be a bunch of franchise tags and the ability maybe if you have to do the two. Like, you know, Dallas is in a tough spot because you franchise Dak Prescott and transition Amari Cooper. That could be one. But, you know, if not, and all of a sudden you reach too soon, then you know and you pull the franchise, then you're going to lose Cooper.
Hey, John, Jake Heaps was throwing out an idea today that perhaps the Seahawks could pull off one of those trades we were talking about and maybe throw, I don't know, a second rounder or something like that for Von Miller. And apparently you said there's no way that would happen. Why is that?
Because John Elway said this week that they're picking up the option. Actually, they did it a week ago on Von Miller. So they've already made their extra commitment to Von. And so because it was, you know, a financial move, he's staying there. So they've already made that decision. When you pick up the option on the player, it doesn't mean that he's not tradable, but you pick up the option because you want to keep the player. So whoever was putting out that story, and it wasn't Jake, but whoever put that story was about as wrong as a Detroit television person that said that they're shopping Matthew Stafford.
You and Jake seem to have issues, John.
What's that?
I'm kidding.
You didn't agree on that?
I was teasing that you and Jake seem to have issues.
No, we don't, because again, it's like, you know, he was reporting the rumor that he heard and saw, and everybody heard and saw, but, you know, what he didn't know was that they executed the option more than a week ago.
So do you have a favorite thing at the combine besides going to eat at the Slippery Noodle when it's over?
I don't know. It's like, I just like, you know, everywhere you walk, you can run into a person that can tell you something you're trying to find out, whether it's going to be free agency, whether it's going to be, you know, the labor issues, whether it's going to be draft. I mean, you know, it was like great in the last 2 days because I was able to talk to Eason. I was able to talk to, Gordon, the quarterback, Anthony Gordon. We got Pete Carroll. We got John Snyder. You know, today we're able to get Nick Harris and Trey Adams. And so that's the great part because, again, you get to accomplish a lot of work. And, again, the way this restructure of this thing is, you know, now I'm flying back tomorrow as opposed to, you know, Saturday or Sunday because, you know, there's not much more because all we have is defensive players for like 8 to 11 tomorrow morning East Coast time and then some defensive players on Friday. But it's like, okay, why stay for that? You know, because, again, we're not able to watch the combine. We have to watch it on TV. So why stay in a hotel room in Indy watching in TV when I can watch it at home?
Hey, John, are there any players that are electing not to participate just in terms of drills and everything? Every year there are guys that are saying, no, I'm going to wait for my pro day. I'm not doing anything here other than the measurables. And every year there's a debate. Oh, it's going to hurt them. This guy should do it. Who is that guy this year? Anybody who said he's not working out?
I can't give you one that isn't doing it that could hurt himself. I mean, Joe Burrow is not going to work out, and he's expected to be the first pick in the draft. Chase Young's not going to work out, but he's supposed to go to Washington as a second player in the draft. But you know, finding one to hurt himself, we'll have to wait to see who's working out and who's not. But I like Jacob Eason's working himself up because all he can do is help his cause. And I'm sure that most of the other guys, like we can't, particularly it's like there's not going to be a lot of the wide receivers that aren't going to do things because, you know, when you're competing with 25 guys with third round grades or better, you know, why are you going to put yourself in a position where maybe you can fall behind somebody? So most of those guys. So I think as it usually is, you know, there's going to be great, because I still remember back in the old days when the agents wouldn't let their guys do anything, that there was always like 160 guys that wouldn't work out at all. Now, I mean, you may see in a group three or four, some of those are going to be because of injuries. And for the most part, unless there's some extreme circumstance that they don't want to work out, and again, you can understand top picks because, you know, so if Burrow works out, is it going to not work out? Is it going to change the opinion that the Bengals have of him? Probably not. And Chase Young, most people think is better than Nick Bosa. So can that change by him not working out? And I think the answer is no.
John, were you there for Doug Marrone at the podium today, the Jacksonville coach?
I was not, no.
Oh, you missed that?
I was on the show.
He says he's undecided on who the starting quarterback's going to be next year.
Uh-huh. You know why?
No, I don't know why, John. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, he's undecided.
yeah, he is undecided.
Yeah, he is. And again, because, you know, there's a lot of different factors in that, because I know I was talking to some people down in Jacksonville, and as good as Gardner Minshew was, you know, he still didn't do much against winning teams. And, you know, he still had that one little stretch where, you know, teams caught up to him a little bit. You know, there's genuine excitement. There's still the thought that, you know, Gardner may beat out Nick. And I think what it comes down to is that, you know, if they've got to find a way to move Nick Foles. And so, like, for example, I was checking with people in Chicago because they've got two or three coaches from Philadelphia who worked with him over in Chicago, and that might be an option. But again, if you're trading Nick Foles with a $22 million contract, it's going to be very much like Ryan Tannehill. I mean, you'll get a marginal draft choice, but also you're going to have to pay the Bears in a good portion of it to play him or to get him satisfied financially. Because again, you know, they're taking and that could be a cap hit they may not be able to do. Because I know just if they would just cut him or trade him without paying money, you know, they're only going to save $3 million. And so, you know, the cap issue is one that has to keep him. It's kind of like the situation with Cam Newton, you know, where Cam Newton still has 2 months to recover from his Lisfranc injury, which he should, but also that could cause some complications, you know, if you trade him because he's not going to pass a physical for 2 months. And secondly, you know, it could cause some issues as far as, you know, some with the cap as far as, you know, you're letting an injured player go.
John, good stuff. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.